This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
That's Hancock and Kelly takeover of KMOX because we actually show up during the holidays. We're going to start to call some of our coworkers who we'll find out exactly what they do between Christmas and New Year's. And I've just dialed up this young lady here. Amy, you're all live on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
The Quiver River Electric guest line.
Hey, guys. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. When do we quit saying Merry Christmas? How far after Christmas does it stop?
Yeah, I think next week. I think today you say Merry Christmas, and then you start blending in Merry Christmas, Happy New Year together, and then you stop.
Hey, what's it like to have that time between Christmas and New Year's off? And what does one who's not really committed to their job do during that time?
Oh, man, being like halfway committed is great. It is awesome. I slept in. I actually just went for a middle of the day run just because I could.
Wow.
So that was pretty awesome.
How many miles did you pound out?
9.
You warned me.
9
And so, let's see. We hung out with lots of family, ate a lot of food. Like, it's so amazing to wake up and have coffee, and then it's like late morning, and you turn on the radio, and you have coffee. I mean, if this is how the other half lives, it's amazing.
Well, I will tell you, your fan was concerned about you not being here today, and so you ought to let your fan know that all is well.
My one fan?
Yeah, your fan was very concerned.
Oh, well, wait, who? What'd he say?
I don't know who he is. He's your fan. He's very concerned about
it. The guy texted in and said, boy, I'm so glad Kelly's there, but what happened to Amy?
Right.
Oh, well, I am all as well. I'm hanging out with Mason Jar.
Mm.
Oh, this is that's what, see,
is this, what,
this
Christmas
is love.
Number, is this
is
Christmas
love.
Number two
yeah.
for the two of you?
It is just the two of us right now. It is.
Wow.
So is this your second Christmas together?
It is. Like, not many people know each other for 13 months, but have celebrated two Christmases together. You know what I mean? Because if you meet within a month of Christmas, you're generally not hanging out
on Thanksgiving. After Christmas. 13 months, I'm trying to find out what their middle name is, much less get engaged like you. Good Lord.
Middle name.
I know, right? Not wasting any time here.
Well, but, Amy, I'm thrilled that you're out having the day off, and we were just hanging out with Chris Ranji. Boy, what a chipper, happy fella he is, huh?
Mr. Positive.
Would you say that he's worthy of winning an award for
yes.
positivity?
Yes.
Courageous brightness?
Yes.
John says to me before we go on every segment, all right, happy, let's pull out a Ranji here. Let's all be happy.
I don't know what kind of sketchy business is happening at the Odyssey Voting Center, but something's up. There's no way Ranji. I think it was a clerical error. That happens sometimes.
I'm still trying to figure out who gets to vote on this stuff, because if it's if it's an Odyssey award, you would think the employees would get to vote on it.
Maybe.
And nobody's asked me to vote on anything.
What if the joke's on him, you guys, and, like, he has to go to a dinner now to get his little certificate from, like, 7 to 10 p.m. on, like, a Wednesday night? Would that not be the best?
Michael, you hit the nail on the head. That's what it is. That's what I'm hoping for, is that he has an extra work event to go to now on an evening.
Totally. Because you know how it is. John, I don't know if you do this. Amy, I'm sure people ask you to do stuff. And like, if I asked you, hey, Amy, would you MC my charitable thing in June? Your answer would be, of course, Michael, I'd do that. And then as the month gets closer, you're like, oh, man, I committed to do that thing in June. So, you know, like Ranj winning an award, there's no asking. You got to show up to get your certificate.
With a positive attitude.
Exactly
and be
right.
happy about
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And be happy. He's got to be courageously happy about it.
He'll do it.
Courageously happy.
He'll do it. He'll do it. So let me ask you, on the run out there today, how was the grass looking? Was it green?
It is green. I think it looks green. You know, here's the thing. We were talking about this. I think I've had one day on a run where I've worn like a coat, like a warm coat, because I think it was maybe 29 degrees one morning. But, I mean, it's almost 50 degrees out there. We have not had a cold winter at all. Like, I can't believe how warm this whole winter. We're going to be in January, and we haven't had the need to really bundle up yet.
And it feels like it barely rains anymore, either.
Oh,
like,
we got rain the other day.
Yeah, right, a little sprinkle. But I associate the fall and the winter with rain and snow and cold, and we've not had any of it.
Yeah.
Maybe things are just happy and sunny these days because, you know, Amy's in love and getting married.
Christmas Day was delightful. Well, I mean, it was delightful out there. Mm-hmm. It was that Christmas
too warm.
Eve. Yeah, I can't.
It was too warm. Did you guys get any good gifts?
Oh, of course.
The best gift I got is one of my sisters came and got me nothing. And she said, I think you would appreciate this the most. I was thinking of buying this for you, and I didn't get it because I know you don't like stuff. And I gave her a giant hug. It was like the greatest thing ever.
No, that's actually true. You don't like stuff. What about John, though? Didn't he get his ball cleaner last year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I cleaned my balls after we played snooker last Friday. So the next...
So our balls will be clean this time.
They are so clean. In fact, I ran them through twice.
Yeah, what's crazy about it, Amy, is when he first got the ball cleaner, he was running the balls through it like once a week. Now, like, they're barely getting in there about once a quarter.
Well, you got the ball because they got a new cloth on the table, and so the balls don't get as dirty now.
Mm-mm.
But man,
I don't know.
They
got to keep
so
them clean.
Shiny right now. They are so shiny.
Well,
I can't even wait to get back out there.
I'm looking forward to getting back. Speaking of getting back out there, so today was just a light run, nine miles. Are we training for anything?
That's right. No, I took Mason Jar to the track. We did a track workout.
Does he run too?
Oh, these poor
he guys. Does. He's. I think he's going to do a half marathon this spring. He's run a marathon before, so
he has.
So have I, but you know, come on, that.
What are the odds? What are the odds that Amy Mark scores would meet a guy that runs marathons?
He's like a jack of all trades, where he'll do like all the sports, right? And so, like, yeah, I'll run a marathon or whatever, play whatever sport. So he. So it's been fun to. On the track.
What was on the menu? What was the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day menu like?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
So the Mark Scores Christmas dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an annual tradition. Is an amazing giant beef tenderloin.
Yes.
Like 5 pounds of beef tenderloin.
Like a standing rib roast or an actual tenderloin?
Like a filet mignon, like when you... Oh. Where it's like 25 filet mignon.
Yes.
Filets mignon.
Yes.
Yes. So my dad makes it. It's like our big Christmas dinner. And I mean, it was like, this is so gross, but like with all the juice, because it's, you know, you have it rare, not or medium rare
medium
or rare or whatever.
Yeah.
So you have the juice. You got to have the spoon for the juice.
Right.
Which we started calling the blood spoon, which sounds really gross, but I guess it's the spoon for the juice. And then my mom makes like baked apples with brown sugar and oatmeal, and then potatoes with this creamy cheese sauce and corn casserole and spinach casserole.
Dang.
And then French silk pie, chocolate French silk pie.
Yes.
And brownies and peppermint ice cream. I mean, Dave and Donna like go over the top.
That's incredible.
And the whole family goes and runs.
Yeah.
Eat all that stuff and then go for a run.
We had to run the next day, not afterwards. Afterwards, it's like, you know, like, I think a few of the guys are getting the meat sweats, they said.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you ever had the meat sweats?
Never. Because, you know, I don't eat that much meat.
Really?
You know.
Michael, do you?
Do I eat meat?
No, not
really. I'm like a chicken and fish guy.
Have you ever had the meat sweats?
No, I've never had the meat sweats, but...
Ask Pajeski. Pajeski has to know what they
are. Matthew, have you had the meat sweats?
Oh, yeah. I get them quite often.
Do you? Are you a beef connoisseur?
I like beef. I like chicken. I like
it's what's
like
for dinner.
I know. Yeah. But like after Thanksgiving, you eat a lot of turkey. Yeah, you kind of get a little sweaty.
So we had the standing rib roast at our house.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how many seconds do you count? Like 8 seconds when you give it the standing count?
No, it's the standing rib roast. It's prime rib.
Oh.
And nice thick slices. Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, you had to go to one of your three banks to pull the money out.
Yeah.
This became a debate. Is Christmas... Is it turkey or is it ham for Christmas? What's the tradition?
Ham, I mean, you know, but we've always done. This was the first Christmas that we had the rib roast since my mother-in-law passed away. And she was the queen of the Christmas standing rib roast was my mother-in-law's domain. And Georgiana has now inherited the mantle. And I must say, she did a fantastic job. I mean, just
on the what?
Right, the standing rib roast. The standing rib roast.
No.
Yes. I mean, she did a fantastic job.
It sounds delightful. Hold on. I got to yell this to Mason Jar. It's ham, they said, is the tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he thinks it's ham. He's wrong.
Poor Mason Jar is still trying to recover him from acting like he cares and likes to run 9 miles. He's sitting in the corner saying, the heck did I sign
How
up
did I
for?
Get into this thing?
What in the world? Amy Marks, of course, Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us. At least somebody's out there having fun today.
Merry, Merry Christmas to you guys. Yeah, thanks for being committed to your job.
Yeah, yeah. And we're always thinking of you and what's best for you. So enjoy your week off. We'll see you back here next year. And when we come back, Michael Kelly wandered into a bar.
Last night.
On Camel X.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly, sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer.
Merry Christmas. Hancock and Kelly sending in for the Dave Glover Show, and closing time last night. There are some places that stay open on Christmas.
No.
My day started yesterday going out to my mother's house. I had to hit a gas station and pick up some ice.
The gas station was open on Christmas.
So I go into the gas.
I could have put air in my tire.
Could have. And walked into the gas station. Had to also buy my lottery
tickets. Yeah.
So there I am. First of all, everybody's chipper on
it's Christmas.
Christmas. But even the people who are working in gas stations were chipper.
It's Christmas.
When I walked in, hey, Merry Christmas. And there were a couple of people just kind of milling around in there, getting their coffee and stuff. And being all happy and Merry Christmas.
Well, if you
and
I can't be happy at the gas station, where can you be happy?
Yeah, and then Merry Christmas. I said, well, Merry Christmas to you. So there it was. I started my day at the gas station, and after I figured out how to buy the lottery tickets, which now cost $2.
They have for about 11 years.
Yeah, then I also purchased some bags of ice, and I did that. Went and had the family fun.
Now, do you get the jumbo bags of ice?
I did. I got two jumbo. I was told to get four bags of ice.
So you got two jumbo bags.
So I got two jumbo bags of ice. Huh. Now, I think they may have been a little bit larger than four bags total. Like, I think I could have gotten away with one jumbo bag.
Mm-hmm.
As a poke, I think one jumbo bag was about three regular to four regular size ices. But
now,
I had two jumbos.
Do you de-chunk the ice before you open it up?
This is the most important thing you can do.
Yeah.
You've got to take it. You got to grab it like a dead man by its head and its shoulders.
Yeah, and toss it.
And then you just drop it.
Right.
Just drop it from about waist height.
Yeah.
Spin it halfway.
Boom.
Drop it from waist height and then throw it on there. That knocks up all the big pieces. Now, here's another little secret I have. Once you've got it all on top of the goodies, the beer, the soda,
right.
the bubble water, I go get a pitcher of water, too. And I pour a pitcher of water over that ice, and that starts the melting process of the ice, which makes the drinks colder. Do you do that?
No. No, because you got ice in there.
No, but ice, yeah, it's going to leave it cold. But if it's got a little water and it's melting, it makes it even colder for some reason.
The melting ice is colder than the non-melting ice.
Totally. Yeah, and
that can't possibly be true.
I do believe it is true.
It can't possibly be true because you're putting water that's warmer than the ice is on top of the ice.
So
when the ice is melting, you've got the ice, which is at, I don't know, let's say 28 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
And then the water is at, let's say, 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
When you're putting 40 degrees on 28 degrees, you're probably
coming out. It starts the melting process.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it colder.
So then what you
have. By definition, it's got to make it warmer.
No, it totally makes it colder.
I don't think so. I think you're wrong about this.
No, and then especially
maybe in your mind it's
colder. No, and then once you get the swimming going on.
Science.
Once the water is, you know, kind of got the item swimming now.
Yeah.
it's even colder. But if you have regular ice in there, it doesn't seem to absorb the cold as well as it does
the ice is
with
cold.
Some water.
The ice is cold, and it's rubbing up against your
Matthew, are you familiar with my strategy, or is this your first time of hearing it?
I mean, first time hearing it. I know about it, but I just didn't think that it actually worked.
Well, here's
it does. It couldn't possibly work.
Here's where it comes from.
It couldn't possibly work.
I learned it when I was at in my fraternity. And what would happen is I went to Ole Miss.
A bunch of fraternity
which is
guys at Ole Miss
down in Mississippi,
know about the science of heating water.
And it was a dry county, the Mississippi. You could not buy cold beer.
Yeah.
So what they would do is they'd send us pledges out.
Yeah.
And then we'd go across county lines to the other county where they sold beer, and we could buy the beer. So then we buy the beer. What we would do is we'd have a cooler, and you'd throw the ice in there, and you'd put water in the ice, and then you roll the cans on the ice, and it makes it colder, but it has to have the water. You got to have the water there, or it's not going to make the ice cold enough. I'm right about this, dude.
You can't possibly be right.
I'm telling you I'm right.
Unless you're pouring water that is colder than the underlying ice. It's not going to make
it. It's actually a little bit warmer, but it starts the decomposition of the ice, which then helps
chill. Doesn't get colder, though.
I'm just telling you.
Doesn't get colder.
Maybe it's a subjective thing, but I'm telling you, it's good. I like it, and it works. And I'm telling you right now, if we were to buy two cases of beer and 2 hours, mine will be colder than yours.
If I'm in the ice and you're in the ice in the water.
Yes. Mine will be colder than yours. People will prefer my beer over your beer.
Because I don't
think that one will be colder.
You can't. It just doesn't work that way.
314-436-7900. 1-800-925-1120. Or you can text us at 314.
I'm putting warmer water on cold ice and expecting the underlying brew to be colder than the ice was cold before you put the warmer water on it.
That's exactly what happens. You just described what happens when you've got a little water.
Well, what's the science of this thing? I don't
know that it's a science. I think it's just, you know, it's one of those tricks that you learn on how to make beverages colder with that.
I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. I mean, I've been wrong once or twice. Do we have somebody to weigh in on this?
We got Mark.
Mark, you're on KMOX.
Yes, it's true that if you get more water on the bottom with the cans are in it, they are totally submerged and around the cold versus ice on top of them doesn't get in between the cans and everything. So the drinks are not as cold.
That's right, Mark.
It's not colder. It's the water that's colder, and it freezes. It gets the cans colder than just putting them on ice.
Huh. Right. See?
Gotcha. All right, I'll put you on hold, Mike.
All right.
Hey, you got your mic on.
I'm inclined to believe that. Who else is joining us here?
We've got Mike.
Mike, you're on KMOX.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
Hello? Yeah, the water is touching more surface of the can than just the ice, so it's getting the beer colder faster.
Thank you. You know, I don't like to talk, but I typically am right.
I'm having a hard time
my little
coming to terms with this.
Teach people here.
Seems to me like cold ice made warmer does not make the beverage colder. But I do understand that if you're circling the can with cold water, that potentially...
Why does it take strangers, who, by the way, could be on drugs right now, calling in saying Kelly's right, for you to finally agree that Kelly's right?
Well, I'm so unaccustomed.
Can't you just say, you know what? This is a topic that Kelly probably knows more than I did. He had to go across county lines to buy warm beer and get it cold.
I am not accustomed to you being correct, Michael, and it takes me a little bit of convincing.
Yes, well, usually when we put the facts in front of Republicans, you all say that it's a lying and it didn't happen that way, and it's not real.
I'm willing to accept that I can be wrong. It's not often, but I'm willing to accept that I can be. And I'm willing to accept, Michael, that on some topics you can be right. I just didn't think this would be one of them. Well, Michael Kelly, we never got into your.
Well, we'll get back to it. We've got another hour and a half
Dave
to go.
Dave Murray,
here.
You know, they say they say the weather outside is going to be frightful.
He could be the final orbiter of what I'm talking about.
Oh, he'll know the science.
He'll know the science.
He will know the science.
Dave Murray's next
after the news.
News, talk, sports.
the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Well, look at the timing here. Someone who knows a little bit about temperatures who may be able to help settle this great debate we've been having here on KMOX. It's Dave Murray. How are you, Dave?
Hello, guys. I'm doing great.
So, Dave, you heard the argument. I like to ice the beer up. I put a little water on that ice, which then...
First of all, yeah. I need to explain why this weird conversation is going on. Because the full moon is tonight.
Yes, totally.
That's the simple explanation of the weirdness that's going on KMOX right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and Glover's gone, so Hancock and Kelly are in. They don't want to talk politics, so they're talking about beer.
Okay, why not? What's going on? This is it's a process in physics called latent heat. Latent heat is right. Hidden.
I'm taking notes. Go ahead.
That means hidden. Right. So as the ice melts, because of latent heat and the process, the physical process is hidden, the temperature does not increase as the ice is melting. Now, in the case of a can of beer, you're also introducing aluminum to the process.
Yeah.
Now, water can't go below 32 degrees or 0°C. It just can't without turning to ice.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a question that it's getting colder. It's a question of the melting ice is not increasing in temperature, and that's being also transported to the can. So the can is getting colder as the ice melts. In the cold, cold water.
Amazing.
So just to put a
how long ago did somebody figure that out?
This is actually a one of the best things. I was not real good in fluid dynamics.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
But I was good enough. But it was very important in meteorology. And the big question that I always remember, and this is in graduate school, is the question was, if you have a hot cup of coffee, and the phone rings. And you go to get it. Do you put your milk in first, or do you come back and put the milk in later?
Yeah.
And I'm in this class with all these bright-minded physics people. Yeah, I was the only one who knew the answer because I'm a meteorologist. I said, well, because of latent heat, you want to pour it in first and then go get your phone call. Because if you let the coffee cool by itself, then you add the milk, it's going to cool even faster.
Oh, hello.
Latent heat. That is incredible.
So needless to say, Dave Murray would be getting a beer out of my cooler and not yours because yours would still have the ice without any water on it.
I don't have any beer in my cooler, Michael.
I got to tell you, if you both have coolers of beer, it's not going to matter to me. I'm going for either one. I'm going to the closest one.
All right.
Dave, we had one of the strangest Christmases we've had in a long time. I was looking for tulips when I was out on my walk on Christmas morning. Now they're saying we may actually get some white stuff tonight. Is that true?
Well, we're not going to see an awful lot tonight. There is this very strange little storm system that's going to drop right over the middle of the country. It's not a southwest storm. It's not an Alberta Clipper. It's kind of morphed between all these different things. So it's an interesting storm. It's a slow-moving storm. Doesn't have a lot of moisture to work with, but it does have enough. And it doesn't have any real cold air with it, but close enough. So we're really dealing with a real borderline situation. Let me break it down, then I go into some details.
Nice.
We're not going to see anything this evening. Just more and more clouds. Some light, wet snow. And some light rain will try to develop towards morning. It's going to be a struggle to get here by morning, but it could be. 35 for the low, so we're still above the freezing point. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, a mix of light rain and wet snow kind of going off and on throughout the day. It's windy and 39 degrees. Then Wednesday night, rain, light rain and wet snow going over to all snow as we go through the night Wednesday. But it's a really wet snow, 32. So we're right at the borderline there. Thursday, it's still with us, cloudy, windy, periods of light rain and wet snow throughout the day, 39. Still light rain and wet snow around Thursday night, 35. And then a slow clearing process on Friday, 42, 28 Friday night. No storm system for the New Year's weekend, so we'll get this thing out of the way. Now, what does this all mean? There's a couple of numbers that are really important. In this particular storm, and every storm is a little bit different, it's the first one, so that is always interesting. It looks like the temperature of 36 degrees is probably the temperature we need to start to see the wet snow get mixed in with the rain. Does not have to be 32 degrees because we're going up in the atmosphere. Limited moisture, but enough. Cold temperatures, day and night, but borderline. Slow motion. Most of the moisture we're going to see is a rain-snow mix. Any snow will be really wet, producing those large, sloppy, hamster-sized snowflakes. It's windy, especially during the day Wednesday and into Thursday. Road temperatures are well above freezing. That's an important number, too. There could be some accumulation on the grassy surfaces, trees, and parked cars, especially St. Louis west and northwest. Not so much in Illinois. On the grassy surfaces in those areas, there could be 1 to 2 inches of sloppy, wet snow. That would be kind of approaching late Thursday night into Friday morning. It's not a snowstorm. It's not a big, big deal. But it's the first of the season, and people will freak because with the hamster-sized snowflakes, you could be driving in them at 40, 50 miles per hour and think it's the end of the world because they're these monster snowflakes.
When was the last time it started to get cold this late?
This is as far as snow is concerned and temperature, this is one of the latest on record.
Wow.
So we're way behind. We're way behind in cold. Though December is becoming more and more of a transitional month for St. Louis. January and February, you will know it's winter.
Hey, Dave, on my way to St. Charles yesterday, I noticed that the rivers were so low.
Yep.
Number one, are we in drought conditions? Is it nationwide or is this a worldwide phenomenon? What's going on?
It's not nationwide because there's some areas that have too much water, but we are very dry. There's problems with the barges on the rivers because the water levels are so low. There's a positive side to that in that if you get through the winter with low levels, you know, we'll get some snow, we'll get some rain and things like that. Spring flooding will be harder to come by. So that's the silver lining in the wickedly low rivers. But we need more water. There's no question about it, not only in the rivers, but also for the soil and the vegetation.
Yeah, very little precipitation so far this year. Now, you say January and February are going to be cold as we know them to be.
Yes, I think so.
Do we think there could be significant snowfall in St. Louis this winter?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the core month for snow is going to be February. I think the tail end of winter is going to be the real heart of winter here in St. Louis. And do we get a big snow? It is such a weird place to forecast. It's not clear cut. There's never a snow situation that is clear cut. It's usually rain, sleet, freezing rain, snow. And usually our big snows are on the tail end of a storm system where it kicks over to all snow. So will we have a couple of storms like that? Yes, I think we will.
Dave, you know, we're the political guys, and so we understand there's certain elections that get us more excited than others. As a meteorologist, is snow more exciting than the tornadoes or the rainstorms? What really gets the blood going?
That's a tough one because my expertise is thunderstorm forecasting. So the thing that really gets me going is thunderstorms. Strong, severe, lightning, hail, tornadoes, the whole thing. I don't like what thunderstorms do to people and the things we have, but forecasting-wise, it is a tremendous challenge. With that said, forecasting a snow situation, especially in St. Louis, is pull-your-hair-out type situation. But the time frames are very different. One is kind of short-term, one is long-term. I'm excited about any kind of weather. I'm a geek.
At what point in your youth or teen years or college years did you think, you know what, this meteorology, that's for me. That's what I want to do.
Fourth grade. Yep. Huh. And before that, I was interested in astronomy.
Well, there you go. All that stuff happens up there.
It's all kind of related. And if you really look at the people who are meteorologists, whether they're on TV, radio, National Weather Service, private forecasting companies, airlines, you know, whatever, wherever a meteorologist gets hired, you're going to find male or female that they get interested in it fourth, fifth, sixth grade. There are very, very few people who get into college and go, you know what? I think I'd like to be a meteorologist, because after the first semester, they're like, I don't think I want to do that anymore. Well, it's too much math, too much physics.
Well, it's all that stuff. It's all that latent heat out there.
That's right.
That's right. Every day. How was Christmas at the Murray?
Christmas was nice. You know, it's our son and his wife and our grandson are coming out in late January, so we're holding back some of that.
Oh.
But I surprised my wife with a very unusual gift. In fact, she was bowled over by it.
And
we are going to learn how to sail this summer.
Wow.
That's not easy.
Wow.
Nope. I know it's
did
not easy.
Did you buy a boat or did you just buy lessons?
No. I've purchased lessons, and we have to test out of the very first course. That's our first objective. And then it's a two-night, three-day sailing lesson, just the two of us.
Oh, that nice. Sounds romantic.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's going to be romantic.
No, I'm likely to get one.
News, talk, sports. The voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. But
well, look at the timing here. Someone who knows a little bit about temperatures, who may be able to help settle this great debate we've been having here on KMOX. It's Dave Murray. How are you, Dave?
Hello, guys. I'm doing great.
So, Dave, you heard the argument. I like to ice the beer up. I put a little water on that ice, which then...
First of all, I need to explain why this weird conversation is going on. Because the full moon is tonight.
Yes, totally.
That's the simple explanation of the weirdness that's going on KMOX right now.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, that and Glover's gone, so Hancock and Kelly are in. They don't want to talk politics, so they're talking about beer.
Okay, why not? What's going on? This is it's a process in physics called latent heat. Latent heat is right. Hidden.
I'm taking notes. Go ahead.
That means hidden. Right. So as the ice melts, because of latent heat and the process, the physical process is hidden, the temperature does not increase as the ice is melting. Now, in the case of a can of beer, you're also introducing aluminum to the process.
Yeah.
Now, water can't go below 32 degrees or 0°C.
Mm.
It just can't without turning to ice.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a question that it's getting colder. It's a question of the melting ice is not increasing in temperature, and that's being also transported to the can. So the can is getting colder as the ice melts.
Amazing.
In the cold, cold water.
Amazing.
So just to put a...
How long ago did somebody figure that out?
This is actually one of the best things. I was not real good in fluid dynamics.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
But I was good enough, but it was very important in meteorology. And the big question that I always remember, and this is in graduate school, is the question was, if you have a hot cup of coffee and the phone rings... And you go to get it. Do you put your milk in first, or do you come back and put the milk in later?
Yeah.
And I'm in this class with all these bright-minded physics people.
Yeah,
and I was the only one who knew the answer because I'm a meteorologist. I said, well, because of latent heat, you want to pour it in first and then go get your phone call. Because if you let the coffee cool by itself, then you add the milk, it's going to cool even faster.
Oh, hello.
Latent heat. That is incredible.
So needless to say, Dave Murray would be getting a beer out of my cooler and not yours, because yours would still have the ice without any water on it.
I don't have any beer in my cooler, Michael.
I got to tell you, if you both have coolers of beer, it's not going to matter to me. I'm going for either one. I'm going to the closest one.
All right.
Dave, we had one of the strangest Christmases we've had in a long time. I was looking for tulips when I was out on my walk on Christmas morning. Now they're saying we may actually get some white stuff tonight. Is that true?
Well, we're not going to see an awful lot tonight. There is this very strange little storm system that's going to drop right over the middle of the country. It's not a southwest storm. It's not an Alberta Clipper. It's kind of morphed between all these different things. So it's an interesting storm. It's a slow-moving storm. Doesn't have a lot of moisture to work with, but it does have enough. And it doesn't have any real cold air with it, but close enough. So we're really dealing with a real borderline situation. Let me break it down, then I go into some details.
Nice.
We're not going to see anything this evening. just more and more clouds. Some light wet snow and some light rain will try to develop towards morning. It's going to be a struggle to get here by morning, but it could be. 35 for the low, so we're still above the freezing point. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, a mix of light rain and wet snow kind of going off and on throughout the day. It's windy and 39 degrees. Then Wednesday night, rain, light rain and wet snow going over to all snow as we go through the night Wednesday. But it's a really wet snow, 32. So we're right at the borderline there. Thursday, it's still with us. Cloudy, windy, periods of light rain and wet snow throughout the day, 39. Still light rain and wet snow around Thursday night, 35. And then a slow clearing process on Friday, 42, 28 Friday night. No storm system for the New Year's weekend. So we'll get this thing out of the way. Now, what does this all mean? There's a couple of numbers that are really important. In this particular storm, and every storm is a little bit different. It's the first one, so that is always interesting. It looks like the temperature of 36 degrees is probably the temperature we need to start to see the wet snow get mixed in with the rain. Does not have to be 32 degrees because we're going up in the atmosphere. Limited moisture, but enough. Cold temperatures, day and night, but borderline. Slow motion. Most of the moisture we're going to see is a rain-snow mix. Any snow will be really wet, producing those large, sloppy, hamster-sized snowflakes. It's windy, especially during the day Wednesday and into Thursday. Road temperatures are well above freezing. That's an important number, too. There could be some accumulation on the grassy surfaces, trees, and parked cars, especially St. Louis west and northwest. Not so much in Illinois. On the grassy surfaces in those areas, there could be 1 to 2 inches of sloppy wet snow. That would be kind of approaching late Thursday night into Friday morning. It's not a snowstorm. It's not a big, big deal. But it's the first of the season, and people will freak because with the hamster-sized snowflakes, you could be driving in them at 40, 50 miles per hour and think it's the end of the world because they're these monster snowflakes.
When was the last time it started to get cold this late?
This is, as far as snow is concerned and temperature, this is one of the latest on record.
Wow.
So we're way behind. We're way behind in cold. Though December is becoming more and more of a transitional month for St. Louis. January and February, you will know it's winter.
Hey, Dave, on my way to St. Charles yesterday, I noticed that the rivers were so low.
Yep.
Number one, are we in drought conditions? Is it nationwide or is this a worldwide phenomenon? What's going on?
It's not nationwide because there's some areas that have too much water, but we are very dry. There's problems with the barges on the rivers because the water levels are so low. There's a positive side to that in that if you get through the winter with low levels, you know, we'll get some snow, we'll get some rain and things like that. Spring flooding will be harder to come by. So that's the silver lining in the wickedly low rivers. But we need more water. There's no question about it, not only in the rivers, but also for the soil and the vegetation.
Yeah, very little precipitation so far this year. Now, you say January and February are going to be cold as we know them to be.
Yes, I think so.
Do we think there could be significant snowfall in St. Louis this winter?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the core month for snow is going to be February. I think the tail end of winter is going to be the real heart of winter here in St. Louis. And do we get a big snow? It is such a weird place to forecast. It's not clear cut. There's never a snow situation that is clear cut. It's usually rain, sleet, freezing rain, snow. And usually our big snows are on the tail end of a storm system where it kicks over to all snow. So will we have a couple of storms like that? Yes, I think we will.
Dave, you know, we're the political guys, and so we understand there's certain elections that get us more excited than others. As a meteorologist, is snow more exciting than the tornadoes or the rainstorms? What really gets the blood going?
That's a tough one because my expertise is thunderstorm forecasting. So the thing that really gets me going is thunderstorms. Strong, severe, lightning, hail, tornadoes, the whole thing. I don't like what thunderstorms do to people and the things we have, But forecasting-wise, it is a tremendous challenge. With that said, forecasting a snow situation, especially in St. Louis, is pull-your-hair-out type situation. But the time frames are very different. One is kind of short-term. One is long-term. I'm excited about any kind of weather. I'm a geek.
At what point in your youth or teen years or college years did you think, you know what, this meteorology, that's for me. That's what I want to do.
Fourth grade. Yep. Huh. And before that, I was interested in astronomy.
Well, there you go. All that stuff happens up there.
It's all kind of related. And if you really look at the people who are meteorologists, whether they're on TV, radio, National Weather Service, private forecasting companies, airlines, you know, whatever, wherever a meteorologist gets hired, you're going to find male or female that they get interested in it fourth, fifth, sixth grade. There are very, very few people who get into college and go, you know what? I think I'd like to be a meteorologist, because after the first semester, they're like, I don't think I want to do that anymore. Black, it's just too much math, too much physics.
Well, it's all that stuff. It's all that latent heat out there.
That's right.
Mess with you every day. How was Christmas at the Murray?
Christmas was nice. You know, it's our son and his wife and our grandson are coming out in late January, so we're holding back some of that.
Oh.
But I surprised my wife with a very unusual gift. In fact, she was bowled over by it.
And
we are going to learn how to sail this summer.
Wow.
That's not easy.
Wow.
Nope. I know it's
did
not easy.
Did you buy a boat or did you just buy lessons?
No. I've purchased lessons, and we have to test out of the very first course. That's our first objective. And then it's a two-night, three-day sailing lesson, just the two of us.
Oh, that nice. Sounds romantic.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's going to be romantic.
No, I'm but likely to get
the one
a
thing
fight.
I would call.
See, that's right. That's what I'm thinking too.
be very leery of taking a 3-hour tour. Is all I'm going to tell you.
They say we're on the water at least 4 to 5 hours at a time.
Merry Christmas, Dave Murray. You're going to be back with us again tomorrow?
Absolutely. I would, especially with a storm system in play.
Can't wait.
You know what? I enjoy it.
We like those hippopotamus-sized snowflakes that are about to fall down.
Hamster. Hamster-sized
snowflakes. Well, I knew we were one of those animals out there.
Remember, latent heat. Never forget it.
I've written it down. I will never forget it. And Michael Kelly was right about something. I'll never forget that.
That typically
either.
Happens, David. David Murray there joining us. He'll be back same time tomorrow to give us the latest on this snowstorm. It's Hancock and Kelly.
And remember, Are You Smarter Than Michael Kelly is coming up next hour.
436-7900
when the time is right.
Nobody's ever been able to get that title.
Yeah, they have.
Hey, when your family gets together, do you guys play games?
Yes.
Like family games?
Oh, yeah.
So we did yesterday. We do one giant game called Left, Right, Center.
Yeah, it's where you roll the dice and
right.
You move the money around.
And everybody's got $3 in front of them, and then all the money eventually winds up in the middle with the exception of one person who wins it all. We play in rounds because there's so many of us.
Yeah.
And I don't like to talk, John Hancock, but I was the big winner of the Left, Right, Center game yesterday.
Took the dollar bills home, did you?
I took about $95 home yesterday.
In $1 bills.
Buddy, you know, when I showed up at the bar the other night and on Christmas night to have that one beer to see who was there, I looked at my winnings and slammed them down. And the lady said, "Well, where have you been tonight?" And I said, "Well, I just got off work."
So
and she said, "Well, why do you still have your shirt on?" I said, "My abs are cold."
Yeah, no,
my abs are cold.
No, I love family games.
Yeah,
and we got.
You played Left, Right, Center.
We played it. Yes,
okay. You played a new game.
Yes.
What was
new to me.
Okay.
It's called Ticket to Ride. It's a game where you have to build, you draw. First of all, Johnny got this game for his sister and her husband.
Okay.
And they forgot and left it at our house. So
all right.
We all played it. And so thought it would be a good idea because it's a brand new game.
I've never heard of it.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, well, it's brand new to us. So no idea how to play it.
Okay.
So we get the bright idea that surely there's a tutorial on YouTube to teach you how to play this
Rather
game.
Than having to read the directions.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So we get this punk kid on YouTube. He's talking a mile. You get four cards in. You get a destination card. Take it over here. You build your track. You can't build a track on two tracks. You got to do. No idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely worthless.
Who finally read the directions? It had to have been a girl.
No, it was me.
Okay.
And so you read the directions, and there it is.
Uh-huh.
Very easy to figure out. So you get there's different colored trains, different colored lines.
Okay.
Okay. And so you've got to build a line of your track, and you'll draw a destination card, Calgary to St. Louis.
Okay.
So you got to get from Calgary to St. Louis, and there's multiple ways you can
get there. You get, like, Boston to Washington, D.C.? That's a small one.
Yes, you could.
And that's part of the luck of the draw.
Worth fewer points.
Okay, though. All right.
And then you got the strategy of it's fascinating. You got to figure out how many different destinations you want to tackle, because if you fail to get a destination, it costs you however many points are on that card.
Okay.
So you want to make sure you make your destinations and get those points.
Uh-huh.
Plus there are points for every time you make a play and do this and that.
You roll dice here, or what do you do?
No dice.
Okay.
So you're drawing cards.
Uh-huh.
And when it comes your turn, and you got to take a train card. So the train cards are going to be color. So I need three greens, because there's three green train lines between Seattle and Tacoma.
Okay.
And so you got to wait till you got three green cards before you can build that track.
All right.
And then so you're building track, and you got to go into your various destinations. It's a fun game.
Uh-huh.
Very tactical, very strategic.
Really? An adult game or kid game?
Yeah, well, anybody can play.
Kids could play it, too.
Kids can play it, too.
And how long does it, you know, like Monopoly never ends?
This is a really good length game. So I would say it's a good 45 minutes to an hour.
Uh-huh.
If you've got four or five or six people playing.
Okay. Now, will this be taking the place of the normal game you play, which is Clue?
Well, my kids don't like it when I play Clue.
Why is that?
Well, you know, Michael, I'm just a little level above most people.
You're good at guessing
when it comes
murders.
When it comes to reading things.
Okay.
When it comes to the power of deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sherlock Holmes, I knew who did it. You know, by the fifth page every single time.
Really?
So in Clue,
I can
appreciate how playing Clue against me would be a very deflating emotional experience for many people.
Right.
So it's hard for me. It's kind of like, you know, playing snooker against me. So the kids are inclined to, and I've not won this train game yet. So
uh-huh.
We played it three or four times. I've not won it yet.
You did not win.
I have not won it yet.
And so then did you immediately say, kids, let's play some Clue?
Yes, and there's no takers.
And everybody wants to move away.
No takers.
Isn't it fun to be able to go play games? We used to play games with our parents when we were kids, and now we're all still playing games. You're playing with your adult kids.
Yeah, and so, you know, my son-in-law, he dropped off the other night. And so it was just me and Georgianne and our two original kids playing a board game together. And that's kind of cool. I mean, and the family all comes together. And we're not – Johnny lives in Chicago. You know, Mary and Brad are here.
Right.
So that's wonderful. And then little Tula's here. But they have Johnny in town. And he's been in town for over a week, which has just been
– He's going to come join us
phenomenal.
Thursday, right?
Yeah, he'll be in Thursday with us, our NFL insider. And so, yeah, just to have the whole family together, it's a rarity, and the holidays season provides that opportunity, and I got to tell you, I've enjoyed every single minute of it, but I do know that this time of year is tough on a lot of people, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, there's so much societal pressure as it relates to the holidays, you know.
Be happy.
The commercials are be happy and go out and spend money and do this. And so many of us may find ourselves in a
spot.
Go
put a big bow on that F-150
right.
And
yeah,
give
go
it to
buy your wife,
wife
a BMW. Go buy your husband a, you know, it there's so much pressure. And then, you know, when you do lose your parents, like, I've lost a parent, you've lost both. When you do lose, you know, love and loss and. It's hard. It's a hard, hard time to
for a lot
to
of
get
people.
Through.
But it's also
But you always have KMOX to listen
well,
to.
Well, you do always have KMOX.
Friendly voices here.
Next hour, are you smarter than Michael Kelly?
I've
drafted some phenomenal questions, if I do say so myself. When we come back,
Sean Malone's going to join
Sean
us.
Sean Malone is with us. We got to get our first check on the traffic that's coming up, and then the news on the Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Get to ride.
family gets together, do you guys play games?
Yes.
Like family games?
Oh, yeah.
So we did yesterday. We do one giant game called Left, Right, Center.
Yeah, it's where you roll the dice and
right.
you move the money around.
And everybody's got $3 in front of them, and then all the money eventually winds up in the middle with the exception of one person who wins
yep.
it all. We play in rounds because there's so many of us.
Yeah.
And I don't like to talk, John Hancock, but I was the big winner of the Left, Right, Center game yesterday.
Took the dollar bills home, did you?
I took about $95 home yesterday.
In $1 bills.
Buddy, you know, when I showed up at the bar the other night and on Christmas night to have that one beer to see who was there, I looked at my... looked at my winnings and slammed them down, and the lady said, well, where have you been tonight? And I said, well, I just got off work.
So
and she said, well, why do you still have your shirt on? I said, my abs are cold.
Yeah, no.
My abs
happens.
Are cold.
It
yeah.
No, I love family games.
Yeah?
And we got
you played Left, Right, Center?
We played it, yes.
Okay.
We have.
Well, you played a new game.
Yes.
What was
well,
it?
New to me.
Okay.
It's called Ticket to Ride. It's a game where you have to build, you draw, first of all, Johnny got this game for his sister and her husband.
Okay.
And they forgot and left it at our house.
So right.
We all played it. And so thought it would be a good idea because it's a brand new game.
I've never heard of it.
You got exactly.
All right.
Yeah, well, it's brand new to us. So no idea how to play it.
Okay.
So we get the bright idea that surely there's a tutorial on YouTube to teach you how to play this
rather
game.
Than having to read the directions.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So we get this punk kid on YouTube, he's talking a mile. You get four cards, and you get a destination card. Take it over here. You build your track. You can't build a track on two tracks. You got to no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah,
absolutely worthless.
Who finally read the directions? It had to have been a girl.
No, it was me.
Okay,
and so you read the directions, and there it is.
Uh huh.
Very easy to figure out. So you get there's different colored trains, different
okay.
colored lines.
Okay.
Okay. And so you've got to build a line of your track, and you'll draw a destination card, Calgary to St. Louis.
Okay.
So you got to get from Calgary to St. Louis, and there's multiple ways you can get
Could
there.
You get, like, Boston to Washington, D.C.? That's a small one.
Yes, you could.
And that's part of the luck of the draw.
Worth fewer points.
Okay,
though.
All right.
And then you got the strategy of it's fascinating. You got to figure out how many different destinations you want to tackle, because if you fail to get a destination, it costs you however many points are on that card.
Okay.
So you want to make sure you make your destinations and get those points.
Uh-huh.
Plus there are points for every time you make a play and do this and that.
You
and
roll
other.
Dice here, or what do you do?
No dice.
Okay.
So you're drawing cards.
Uh-huh.
And when it comes your turn, and you got to take a train card. So the train cards are going to be colors. So I need three greens because there's three green train lines between Seattle and Tacoma.
Okay.
And so you got to wait till you got three green cards before you can build that track.
All right.
And then so you're building track, and you got to go in your various destinations. It's a fun game.
Uh-huh.
Very tactical, very strategic.
Really? An
yeah.
adult game or kid
yeah,
game?
Yeah, well, anybody can play.
Kids could play it, too.
Kids can play it, too.
And how long does it, you know, like Monopoly never ends. Or...
Yeah, no, this is a really good length game. So I would say it's a good 45 minutes to an hour.
Uh-huh.
If you've got four or five or six people playing.
Okay. Now, will this be taking the place of the normal game you play, which is Clue?
Well, my kids don't like it when I play Clue.
Why is that?
Well, you know, Michael, I'm just a little level above most people.
You're good at guessing
when it comes
murders.
When it comes to reading things.
Okay.
When it comes to the power of deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sherlock Holmes, I knew who did it. You know, by the fifth page every single time.
Really?
So in Clue,
I can
appreciate how playing Clue against me would be a very deflating emotional experience for many people.
Right.
So it's hard for me. It's kind of like, you know, playing snooker against me. So the kids are inclined to, and I've not won this train game yet. So
uh-huh.
We played it three or four times. I've not won it yet.
You did not win.
I have not won it yet.
And so then did you immediately say, kids, let's play some Clue?
Yes, and there's no takers.
And everybody wants to move away.
No takers.
Isn't it fun to be able to go play games? We used to play games with our parents when we were kids, and now we're all still playing games. You're playing with your adult kids.
Yeah, and so, you know, my son-in-law, he dropped off the other night, and so it was just me and Georgianne and our two original kids playing a board game together, and that's kind of cool. I mean, and the family all comes together, and we're not... Johnny lives in Chicago. You know, Mary and Brad are here.
Right.
So that's wonderful. And then little Tula's here. But to have Johnny in town, and he's been in town for over a week, which has just been...
He's going
to
come join us phenomenal. Thursday, right?
Yeah, he'll be in Thursday with us, our NFL insider. And just to have the whole family together, it's a rarity. And the holidays season provides that opportunity. And I got to tell you, I've enjoyed every single minute of it. But I do know... that this time of year is tough on a lot of people, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, there's so much societal pressure as it relates to the holidays, you know.
Be happy.
The commercials are be happy and go out and spend money and do this. And so many of us may find ourselves in a
go
spot.
Go put a big bow on that F-150 right. And yeah, give
go
it to
buy your
wife
a BMW. Go buy your husband a, you know, it there's so much pressure. And then, you know, when you do lose your parents, like, I've lost a parent, you've lost both. When you do lose, you know, love and loss, and it's hard. It's a hard, hard time to
for a lot
to
of people.
Get through.
But it's also
but you always have Camel X to listen
well,
to.
Well, you do always have Camel X.
Friendly voices here.
Next hour, are you smarter than Michael Kelly?
We know the answer
I've
to that.
Drafted some phenomenal questions, if I do say so myself. When we come back,
Sean Malone's going to join
Sean Malone is with us. We got to get our first check on the traffic that's coming up, and then the news on the Voice of St. Louis News Radio 1120 KMOX.